Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. And today is February the 20th, 2017. It is a Monday. Just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show today. Glad to have you on board. And at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, and then hit **. Once again, it's 866-510-9025, then hit **. We'll see you in queue, and we'll definitely bring you up. Would love to hear from you all. Also, Black Talk Radio Network, Black Talk Radio Network definitely needs your overall support to maintain its overall direction and to maintain the programs that are bringing to you. If you would be so kind as to go to Black Talk Radio Network's website, and that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Got a little tied there. And there you'll see at the website, you'll see the donation prompt. That donation gives some of your financial energy. That means that this network is on air and is able to bring you information. As I always say, please don't just eat the fruit. Be a part of feeding the roots. Very, very important for us to do that, to invest going forward, to invest forward so that the things that are important and pertinent to us all, so that we have them. So you could do that by going to the website and clicking on the donation prompt that's there on the website. Also, Black Talk Radio Network has established a social media outlet, and that social media outlet is known as BTR Community, and you can find that also at www.btrcommunity.com. And this social media outlet allows you to engage in social media activities without being adversely affected, without your identity being sold to any bidder, and where you can actually post things within like-minded people and resonate with the same energy as you and have the same objectives as you. Maybe the different methods, but the objectives are still the same. So you could do that by going to BTR Community, and you can find that by going to www.btrcommunity.com, or you could go to the website for Black Talk Radio Network and you will find it there. Very, very important that you do that. So that's how you can do it. In a social media outlet is only $24 a year for your overall engagement in that whole setup, which is, in my opinion, very, very important. So be a part of that and ensure that you are a part of this network, because I only post there the information that I come across, and because I won't do the mainstream outlets because of the liability and the just the adversities that they pose to us all, I just refuse to do it. So come on over to BTR Community. Also, everyone, March the 25th of 2017 is going to be a wealth seminar in Dallas put on by the Volt Media Group. And it is something that you all should be engaged in. And it's going to be the Family Business Private Wealth. There's going to be put on by the Volt Media Group, like a Volt, V-A-U-L-T. And it's going to be, and it's actually going to be in Dallas, Texas. And I posted inside of BTR Community. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I posted inside of Tando Radio Show in BTR Community, the Evite. And you can just log, I mean, you can just click that and make your reservations. It's $100 per couple and $125 for single tickets, and it's going to be from 1 p.m. Central Standard Time to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I will definitely be there for a presentation. Would love to meet some of you all, so come on down to Dallas if that's all possible, and that's going to be March the 25th, put on by the Volt Media Group, and it's going to be Family Practice and Private Wealth. And the information that you're going to be giving there is so, so important. We'll have those brothers on sometime this week to tell you why it's something that you should be engaging in the opportunity that you can have. So definitely want to do that. Also, I forgot, if you're interested in acquiring some Girl Scout cookies, you could definitely text me, 951-790-8330, and we'll get you some Girl Scout cookies for a very fine young lady in her overall entrepreneurial endeavorments. Also, if you're interested in acquiring real money, which everyone should be interested in saving in real money, you can do it at Prosperity Mint, P-R-O-S-P-E-R-T-Y-M-I-N-T. And there you can check out what's in inventory. And then once you are ready to make a purchase, just email wolf6pack1@gmail.com. Okay? Now let's jump into what's in the news, and we're going to get going in today's show. So very, very important. And today's show is why it's so important to have a plan. And we're going to look at some things as to why it's so important to have a plan, and then some of the things that you should be thinking about in putting your plan together. So that's what today's show will be about, but let's jump into the news. There was an article that I forgot to mention last week on Friday that I really thought was very, very critical to mention, especially a part of what's going on in the world. Was this one comes from Business Insider. China's military is approaching near parity with the West, meaning the United States. China military is fast approaching near parity with the Western nations, according to the new report from the International Institute for Strategic Studies. In this 2017 military balance report, which focuses on global military capabilities and defense spending, ISS expert says that China has made significant progress in research and development and improved its military capability, putting it close to on par with the United States and other allies. And I would say that it probably is already there, and it's been there for a little while, in my opinion. So definitely, definitely check out that article. And we posted that one on Friday, so you could just go back and find that article. Okay, so now next, what's in the news? Over the weekend, it was only a couple of things that I posted. This one came from Cerebrally Naive Network, known as also, they like to call themselves CNN. And this one says, U.S. carrier starts routine patrol in the South Sea of China. Sailing with the 97,000-ton Vinson, Carl Vinson, is the guided missile destroyer Wayne E. Meyer, the Navy said in a statement. The Vinson carrier carries a flight group of more than 60 aircraft, including A-18 fighter jets. So check out that overall article. United States is actually going to challenge China's ban or prohibiting from a freedom of navigation through their sovereign waters. And so you're not supposed to have your overall military going through sovereign water territories, and China claims most of the South Sea of China as their historical and sovereign waters, and the United States is not acknowledging that, and they're going to actually challenge China, and China has also mentioned that they did not want that to be happening. So check out that, and then also have a YouTube video that came from Cerebrally Naive Network that you should check out as well. Posted that yesterday. Also, this one comes from the next article comes from Navy.military.com, and this one is talking about the carrier group, carrier strike group one conducts South Sea of China Sea Patrol. And it says, South Sea of China, carrier strike group one, including Nimitz-class aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson CVN-70, which is a nuclear aircraft carrier, squadron, and one guided missile destroyer, 108 aircraft carrier wing group, began routine operations in the South Sea of China in February, as they just completed, China has just completed some of its military drills in the South Sea of China, and the United States is now moving their Navy in. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this had everything to do with last week we posted and we read it here on Tando Radio Show from en.people.cn, which is a part of the state media from China. And it says, draft maritime law revision says China may bar foreign ships from passing through its waters. This comes from the Daily, from the People's Daily Online. And so that article was, and they knew that this was coming, so they are moving towards that. And this is going to be, so I guess that the Trump administration or the United States is challenging what China has laid claim to. And that, and believe me, this is only going to continue to destabilize, and is going to ultimately go into a war. Next article comes from South China Morning Post. China is ready to work with Trump, Wang Ying tells U.S. counterpart. Foreign Minister Wang Ying told his U.S. counterpart Rex Tillerson that Beijing was ready to work with the Trump administration's, according to Chinese accounts of their meeting at the G20, at the Munich Security Conference. And this is, in my opinion, this is a very smart move by China, because after the celebrity figurehead Trump had called the president of China last week, that was, he waited for Trump to call him, because the borrower always waits for the lender to call. So that call was there. And then China had this response before the United States started their overall freedom of navigation patrols in the South Sea of China. This is nothing more than political maneuvering. And once again, the United States was outmaneuvered by China completely. And then on this article, then also this one comes from, let me pull this one up real quick. I can't see it. It is the article that I pulled from the South, from the Southern China Morning Post. One second. Give me a second. It's loading up here. Shouldn't be too long. And it says, and this one is the Navy carrier group begins South Sea of China from their point of view. So check out that. Read that article from what China says in some of the things. The United States Aircraft Carrier Strike Group has begun patrols in the South Sea of China amidst growing tensions with China over control of the disputed waters and concerns that could become a flashpoint under the new U.S. administration. China did not make official comments on the move on Sunday, but observers said that it showed tensions between China and the United States over the disputed waters would not be alleviated under the administration of Donald Trump. The Carl Vinson's aircraft carrier group was engaged in routine operations in the South Sea of China, the Navy stated in a statement. It noted that the ships were and aircraft were recently conducting exercises off of Hawaii and Guam to maintain and improve their readiness and deployment cohesive as a strike group. Beijing may reiterate if the U.S. tries to block China's access to the South Sea of China Islands. We are looking forward to demonstrating that those capabilities, while building upon existing strong relationships with our allies and partners and friends in Indo-Asia Pacific region, Strike Group Carrier Rear Admiral James Kirby said in a statement. Fractions between the United States and China over the trade and the territorial under U.S. President Trump has increased concerns that the South Sea of China should become a flashpoint, and it definitely, definitely will. China's war wrapped up its own military naval exercise in the South Sea of China on Friday. War games involved its own aircraft carrier its own aircraft carrier, having unnerved neighbors with its long-running territorial dispute. Earlier this month, the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, said the U.S. did not see the need for major military moves in the South Sea of China to contend with Chinese assertive behaviors, despite saying that China's actions had shredded the trust of the nations in the region. A Shanghai-based military affairs commentator said the patrols by the aircraft carrier Strike Group showed that the South Sea of China policies under Trump are inconsistent. On one hand, the defense secretary said the dispute could be solved diplomatically, but the other hand, the U.S. military is acting tough, he said. Chinese and U.S. spy plane have close encounter over the South Sea of China that happened last week. Nguyen said that the U.S. would increase its presence in the South Sea of China with advanced aircraft and missiles, and China would react accordingly. However, Nguyen said that Trump also needed to focus on domestic issues. And I think that was very important. Hear what he said. Focus on domestic issues, and it might make the maritime dispute not make the maritime dispute a priority. In my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, reading between the lines is that China will probably start to engage in some things that destabilize things here in the United States. And this is a strategical tactic, in my opinion. This is just my opinion. I wouldn't be surprised because they said it before, and they are going to do it. They never say things that they're not going to do. A researcher at the Chinese Institute International Studies said that the patrol showed that the tensions over the South China Sea dispute would remain high. At least the U.S. shows no intent in lowering the tensions. There are a lot of people calling on the U.S. to maintain a presence in the South China Sea under the Trump administration, he said. China's laid claim to almost all of the resource-rich South China Sea, through which about $5 trillion U.S. dollars worth of trade pass each year. So China is not going to give up that spot, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to definitely have – that is going to turn into, my opinion, of a war in the making. My man Ramon – next article came from the Global Times. And then this article – this was the article from the Global Times, and this is the one I really meant to read. South China Sea may see new ways as Carl Vinson begins patrol. And I'm going to just read the last part of this that's very, very important. The last couple of articles, I got time. Let's go with it because it's better than just to lay the whole thing out. According to the U.S. Navy Navy Nimitz-class aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson began patrolling the South China Sea amidst tensions on Saturday. It arrived at Naval Base Guam on February the 10th after leaving San Diego. The aircraft carrier belongs to the U.S. Third Fleet, which is in charge of the East Pacific and North Pacific regions since World War II, but now sent on a mission to the West Pacific. This proves that the United States military will increase its provocative and involvement in the South China Sea, but it is uncertain to what degree and scale in the way the U.S. intentions in the regions will be. This is from the Global Times, and this is an official Chinese state media outlet. According to the Western Media, one of the goals of the Carl Vinsons in the South Sea of China is to implement a freedom of navigation cruise. The freedom of navigation claimed by Washington means the U.S. military vessels are free to go through territorial waters of other countries. This is an arbitrary principle. China should strongly object to the U.S. in this case. Having freedom of navigation is reasonable in certain areas in the open sea, but in an exclusive economic zone which a country has exclusive rights to explore and to use maritime resources, the United States freedom of navigation does not apply, and it may harm the economic interests of other countries. See, this is China's response. Besides, China needs to continue its – here's what they say. Check what they say. Besides, China needs to continue its construction work on the islands and reefs in the South China Sea and protect its rights and interests. In addition, China has to make more effort to improve its relationship with countries around the South China Sea, which reach a consensus that the territorial dispute should be solved through – move this down – consulting and negotiation among the countries involved. And they're saying the United States isn't involved. They need to mind their business. And they talked about they need to continue to build construction on those islands. And those islands that they're going to build the constructions on is military, because they know they're going to defend that from the United States and this freedom of navigation patrols. And they're going to, at some point and at some time, there's going to be a direct confrontation between those two. And there goes the war, ladies and gentlemen. Here comes the drafting of the young women in your family, young women that are right now teenagers or adolescents. They are going to be engaged in this overall war because China has a very, very large military, and the U.S. in comparison is extremely small. They're going to pull all bodies into that war. Article continues. In the past, here it goes. The U.S. criticisms of China's construction activities, because they're building military bases there, in the South Sea of China is unjustified, since the South China Sea islands are China's inherited territory. By chastising China, the United States is trying to obstruct China's constructions and inviting its allies in the region to be involved so that as to disturb the peace and stability in the South China Sea. Move this down. Washington wants to make its hegemony presence known. In the past few years, the United States administrations under the President Barack Obama limit the United States Navy operations in the disputed area, such as Nasha Islands, and did not perform freedom of navigation operations in the South Sea of China from 2012 to 2015, so to avoid unnecessary clashes. But they did do it in 2016. After all, frequent U.S. activities in the water can easily lead to clashes with China. Obama administration restrictions has come has come to some extent previous since scenarios from happening. Recently, a Chinese early warning aircraft nearly collided with a U.S. Navy patrol plane, and that patrol plane actually is a sub killer. In matters like this, Trump needs to learn from his predecessor. Here's an important part of what China and how far China is going to go with this, and they're not going to back down at all. Among China's surrounding maritime regions, the South China Sea is one of the attractions that most interest the United States, which poses the biggest threat to China. The South China Sea is China's largest body of water with the most abundant natural resources. It occupies an important position on the 21st century maritime Silk Road. Because of its significance, the Trump administration will certainly be involved in the region to curb China and to maximize the U.S. interests. And remember what their overall slogan was, the U.S. first. By sending the Carl Vinson to the South Sea of China, it appears that the U.S. wants to create and drive a wedge between China and the relative countries. This may trigger friction or even military clash between China and the U.S. Nothing more needs to be said. China is going to respond at the appropriate time militarily to the Navy's presence in the South Sea of China. Why is this so important, ladies and gentlemen? Because that overall economic zone is where a lion's share of the world's trade goes through. Over $5 trillion goes through there, and China is saying that's ours, especially in the 21st century, because we are now going to be the overall economic superpower, as well as the superpower country that everybody wants to do business with, and we're going to protect our vested interests there. And that's what this whole thing is all about, controlling of assets. This is why I always tell you it's so important that you have assets, control of assets, and that is what's going to protect you. And this, ladies and gentlemen, it will actually directly adversely affect everyone listening to this show on Tando Radio Show in the very, very near future. So these are some of the things you need to know. So let's get back into. So that was very important. Wanted to check that out. Next article. Oh, well, before we go there, my man L.A. Ramon said this article about China ready to work with the U.S. And this night and day is contradicts foreign relations. This article contradicts any notion that the United States and China are cordial terms. So how is it possible that they agree on North Korea, UN sanctions sought by America and South Korea? And I'm going to say, you know, in my opinion, this is a strategic move that China said when they were ready to work with the United States, because they're outmaneuvering and they're going to show that the United States is a country that you can't work with, that they forced the hand for China to defend themselves. And that's what they're going to, because remember, China is not bragging and bolstering by sending their military on the in the Gulf of Mexico or on the eastern seaboard of the United States or in the Pacific Ocean along California. They have done it, but they weren't braggadocious about it, and they weren't actually having a direct threat to the U.S. that way. But believe me, those days will be coming. So check out that article. Next, and we're going to get into today's show in a second. Next one, check out this YouTube video about from Orville Dam, the press conference today that happened not too long ago. Very, very important. I'll just tell you, I do not believe these people at all, the officials and the authorities just dealing with this dam. One, it should have been repaired anyhow and should have been upkept, and you know, I just don't have any form of – they have no credibility at all. And see, what they're always trying to do is trying – and what I'm seeing is that I think that they're really trying to protect the celebrity figurehead Jerry Brown for the overall neglect and probably the criminal neglect that's involved in this overall compromise structure being compromised by the lack of funding to prepare and the projects that were the budget that was already agreed upon for those funds to go to repair these dams and in the infrastructure, and they probably moved it to somewhere else. Now this dam is showing that their neglect is there, and they're trying to give the impression that everything is okay, they got it all under control. Let me tell you something about water. You never have water under control. You never, ever have water under control. And to believe these people, I think, is for people that are in that area, you're going to be adversely affected by, and we'll talk about that later. But check out that YouTube. Next one, very important one. This one comes from a Twitter account from the Sacramento Bee. And check out the different things that's going on. They're having voluntary evacuations because of the amount of rain that they're going to be getting today on Monday. That's probably started now. It's not just one dam that's being compromised and that's being threatened. It's multiple rivers and dams because of the actual spring flooding and the runoff and just from the torrential rains that they had. The whole state is basically waterlogged right now, and its infrastructure is being compromised because of that. So check out that, and we're going to talk about that and making a plan, because this is definitely a part of today's show. So check out some of the things that's there. Also from Google, a winter storm warning in North Central California, very important. Also from the LA Times, all 23,000. All 23,000 California National Guard soldiers and airmen ordered to be ready to be on alert for Orville. This came out last week, but all of the National Guards, because this thing, when this goes, and let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, every single person that's living in the United States, if this dam goes, it's going to directly affect you food-wise. And guess what? You remember celebrity figurehead Donald Trump is not in good with Mexico. A lion's share of produce and food comes from California and Mexico. And then Mexico is going to have an upper hand on this whole thing. Can you kind of see what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen? There's so many variables of sabotage and everything else that's involved here that is so, so critical. So because if this dam goes, forget about it. And we'll talk about that as we go further in today's show. Check out some of the pictures of the compromised spillway. Also, a YouTube video from one of the mainstream media, Foxless News, says fresh storm could reactivate Orville's or Goldville's dam crisis. And I said if another evacuation order is given on multiple fronts, them folks could forget it. And said, shaking my darn head, because it's not just Orville Dam that can cause major problems or call for an evacuation. It's many things, just the infrastructure and the overall runoff and the flooding that is going to be multiplied by Orville Dam. It's just incredible. But check out that YouTube video, and that we may play it here, because it's very important that you hear what some of the things is going on. Next article from Russia Insider. Russia has the lowest national debt in Europe. Meanwhile, in America, just the opposite. By the end of the year, Russia will be completely debt-free. And that is because of where we're going economically. And this is something that you all should be engaging into. Next article also from RT International. U.S. will hold Russia accountable over the Ukraine while searching for common ground, Pence said. Celebrity figurehead, Vice President Pence made these remarks, and here's the subtitle. U.S. President Donald Trump believes common ground can be found with Russia, but Moscow must still be held accountable for the Ukraine crisis, Vice President Mike Pence said, speaking at Munich Security Conference. Pence said that the United States will continue to hold Russia accountable even as we search for new common grounds. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I do really do think that this dude was over there aligning himself for becoming president by hook or by crook there. And if you know what I mean by that, the setup is in. So, and this overall relationship with Russia has now, the honeymoon has been way over, but it was a setup. Russia played it out really, really smartly. Next article. For us to take a look at comes from Pacific Standard. Here's the worst case scenario at Orville Dam, and we're going to read this today as to why they have a plan. Okay, so that's everything that's what's in the news. So there's a lot of other things, but I really wanted to focus on what was going on in California, because that directly has implications for you and it is a good indication as to why you need to be prepared for different things. So we're going to jump into today's show, why having a plan is of critical importance. It is a must. You have to have a plan. You absolutely have to have a plan. So we're going to jump into that now. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Then hit star. We'll see you in queue, and we'll definitely bring you up. Now, why is having a plan so important? Because, ladies and gentlemen, when you have a plan, then you don't have to really think. You will be able to have an appropriate response to a problem. For trained individuals, they call this when you train constantly, training is a plan on how you would respond, a plan on what you would do, a plan on how you would try to mitigate obstacles or a threat. That's what a plan is all about. It gives you an outline, both something that you can write and have mental notes, and you can train with your friends, your family, or with yourself as to how you're going to respond to not only adversity, but to things that are actually beneficial. You want to also seize on opportunities. You also have to have a plan for that. But in today's show, we're talking about planning from the standpoint of preparedness. And once again, this is also a plan to protect yourself, but then also a plan to be able to maximize the opportunities that will come from the overall threat that's threatening everyone else, or threatening our region, or a perceived or a real threat that's there. Because threats also brings opportunity, but a lot of times it brings more destruction, but it also brings opportunities for those that are keen enough to prepare for, keen and wise enough to prepare for, because this is a part of the ebb and flow of life. This is not just something that is sometime throughout human history this has happened, and it will happen throughout the continuance of history. This is just the overall way of our daily physical lives. And I think that having an appropriate response to things is wise, not foolish. The idea of the mainstream media is for you to not to have a plan for a darn thing, but just to obey. That is because that's what their plan is for everything that they own, and they consider that you are under their ownership. And this is very, very important for you to have a plan for your family, because your overall conditions are different. So let's lay out some things about a plan, and if you would like to also add some things to it, definitely give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, then hit star. I'll see you in queue, and we'll definitely bring you up. Okay, so let's jump into it. Why is it so important to have a plan? One, so that you won't allow fear to overtake your overall thought process, and then you become paralyzed. I always like to say that a coward and a person of valor are one and the same when it comes to fear. They both experience fear at the exact same time. The only difference is that the coward is paralyzed by the fear, but the person of valor is motivated to action. This is why you'll see people just freeze. And one of the things that this system teaches you to do is to stand there and cry, and to not have any real distinguishable thought process to mitigate a problem that's before you. It is actually teaching you to run around with your head cut off and to actually magnify the overall problem by giving unrealistic energy to it that becomes a danger within itself, known as a force multiplier. Because when people aren't prepared for things that's going on, they get shocked. They go into a state of shock. Then they go into a state of hysteria. You need not to be shocked nor have a, you know, where you respond unrational. Unrational, because that is not going to do you, your family, nor the community any good. It is only going to magnify the overall problem. This is why I think it's very critical for us not to have forms of entertainment in fear, because that's psychologically conditioning you to be fearful. You already know. This is why I don't engage in a lot of movies, especially, you know, ones that try to seed fear in me. And I don't think it's funny, because there's nothing funny or entertaining about being afraid. They brought it that way because then there's the fun side. But when your overall physical life or someone that you love, ain't nothing fun about it at all. But see, still, they conditioned you to cry and to be paralyzed and then not to move, or to be irrational in your overall response because it's an emotional one. Because you didn't foresee and you didn't anticipate something going wrong, so you didn't have an anticipated response to it, even if it's wrong. So it's so important to have a plan. So what are some of the things that you should be planning about? How do you establish a plan? One first thing that you have to do is you have to establish a plan. A lot of people will give you this criteria. You need to put this and this in. But the first thing that you have to do is be honest about yourself, about who you are, and creating a plan. And what I mean by that is you have to look at your personality. You have to look at your abilities. You have to look at who you are and how you resonate and how you think. And that's where you first start to devise a plan. And I will always say that you should devise a plan that challenges you to maximize the opportunity. But in practicing that plan, you really have to challenge yourself. You can't just have a plan. You have to have one that you practice. Got to have one that you practice. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be, you know, unless you have some extraordinary people around you that resonate the way that you do, it's not going to be popular with your friends, your family, your immediate family, and everything else, especially if they haven't broken themselves of the indoctrination and the domestication of being servitude slaves. It's going to be very difficult to get to those individuals because the system teaches them teaches their slaves to do one thing, but as a sovereign person and self-determining person, you deal with what's before you and what you can create. So first thing that you do in devising a plan is you have to honestly look at yourself. Some of the things you need to look at is your overall strengths, your weaknesses, your personality, and devise your plan from that. Meaning, if you are a person that, let's say, is you know that you have a temper, well, you have to put yourself, devise a plan around that temper that you have until you've gotten that temper under complete control. And I would definitely always say to control that temper, to get that temper under control. That's just an example. Or if you're someone that's extremely aggressive, well, you have to devise a plan around that aggressiveness, and you have to tame sometimes that aggressiveness, but at times you have to release that aggressiveness. If you're passive, you have to, same thing, you have to look at you first and devise a plan around that. Meaning, if you know that you're not someone that is going to challenge yourself in a way where it's in a certain way. Let's say you're not a person that will take the hardest road to get somewhere, even though that may be let's say you're trying to get from point A to point B, and you're not a person, you want to take the most direct road, the easiest, most direct road, okay? There's nothing wrong with that, but you have to plan for that. But if you're someone that is a tactical mind person, you may know that that is not the place, the route to take, because that is the route that most people will take, and that is the preferred choice of many. So you may want to take a route that is more challenging. And if you do that, then you have to know that about yourself and then plan accordingly to get yourself that time to get through. Case in point here in this Orville thing. Instead of you taking the direct route of the 5 freeway of everything else where everybody else is going to go, you may know that, hey, I may need to take a much on a beaten unbeaten path that's going to be even harder to get out. But by using that path, I will have less challenges from people. I want to take the hardest route to get somewhere, because that is probably going to give you the easiest chance of succeeding to get to your destination. And so you allot yourself the appropriate time to do it. Very, very important. Okay, also, in your plan, why a plan is so important. A plan is so important because it gives you benchmarks to activate different things that protect you. What do I mean by that? Take Orville for an example. Where we are now, they gave an evacuation order and they allowed people to go back. Now, you've already evacuated, and because of your plan, you got different benchmarks, and they say it's time to go back. You can go back now. Well, because you have a plan, you're like, I'm not going back until I feel confident that everything is all. I'm not taking that engineer's word for it. I'm not taking that state person's word. I'm not taking the sheriff's word for it. Even if they don't have the best interest, but they have limitations. I don't trust, nor am I going to put my trust and have blind faith in that, in some of this. If they're going to give you information, but you don't have blind faith in the information that they give you, I think it's very important that you be able to discern the information for yourself based off your overall personality, and you need to have a plan for that. Meaning, when they said it's time to go back, did you plan for your ability not to go back? And for how long are you going to stay out of that overall area? And then not only that, by having an appropriate plan, when they gave the evacuation order, did you already leave before then? Or because of what you knew and what you trusted about, what you knew about about that overall threat, did you leave after? Because I'm going to tell you, one of the things that's going to happen if they have an evacuation order again, just like they had the last time, and where the dam is definitely going to be compromised or anything else, it doesn't matter, compromised or not, it's not going to be a orderly evacuation. It's going to be a mad dash. And what happens is that people that are unprepared are going to be irrational. They're going to go from civilized to feral quickly. What I mean by that, they're going to go from being polite to being mean-spirited and violent because of fear. You have to contend with that. You have to contend with not only your family, but you have to contend with everyone else's family around you. You have to contend with the terrain, the topography, the overall threat, the speed of the threat, the depth of the threat, the vastness of the threat. How fast, how deep, and how wide is this overall threat going to be? That is going to be something that you have to plan for before the thing happens. Because once it happens, ladies and gentlemen, it's just a darn race. But are there things that you can do if you're caught in that race that you could be thinking about how to go? One of the things about California when they had the evacuation, here's what, are you going to go the route that they choose for you, or are you going to choose a route for yourself? One of the things, and it depends, sometimes you may have to do the route that has already been chosen for you, or you may want to, I never say take any choices of yours out. Always have your own choices. Because one of the bad things is that when they gave that evacuation plan, it went right through the overall flood zone. So that if that dam was compromised, they were running right into the overall water. And the gridlock is, you're not going anywhere. It's only so many ways out, and it's only so wide, but it's going to be so many more people and vehicles on there. Vehicles were running out of gas, and if the vehicle runs out of gas, ladies and gentlemen, that stops the line. How are you going to pass it now? Think about it. The water runoff, the flooding has already left. So the overall road and the accessibility to get to safety is going to be even smaller now, because you can't just off-road it now because you're going to be contending with water. Do you have a vehicle that can swim? Do you have a plan to get out by other means? Even though a car may be the fastest thing that you have in your possession, it may not be the thing that you, the optimal thing that you should use. It may be your feet, or it may be a horse, or it may be other means or methods. I would always say, I would hope it would be your reasonable, your sense of reason, where you would have gotten out way in advance and didn't find yourself in that predictable problem. That's one thing about a plan. It has to predict some of the threats that you are going to be dealing with. Has to predict some of the predictable, the foreseen and the unforeseen things that you will have to deal with. Why is that so important, ladies and gentlemen? Because when you have a plan, you practice a plan, you know what that plan is, it's much easier to enact it in enough time to get you out. Because there are some people, and for different reasons, there are so many different reasons. There's age, there's financial wherewithal. There's so many different reasons where people may not be able, I mean, you know, if you have teenagers, they may not understand, or young people, or you could have, you know, a family that don't have TV, and they, you know, that's just not what they do. But they, anyone in that area know what's up now, because it's been put out to and all. But in that all in all, they may not wait until the last minute to leave. They may not wait until an order until they hear sirens. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you hear sirens from this case, that may be some of the last few physical things that you hear. And why put yourself in that predicament? So very, very important. Some of the things with the plan that you have to do is your route. How easy is it the route that you could, how successful is it for you to be able to navigate that route that you've chosen? Have you already went by that route? Have you scouted that route? Have you pre-planned? Have you sent out a pre-party on that, meaning you, where you've already been through it, so you'll know what you're going to be contending with? Does it have resources on your way so that you won't have to carry as many resources with you? It's so many variables with this that is so necessary to be looking at. How much are you going to need to carry with you? How little? What gear are you going to need to carry? What threats are you going to meet along the way? Who are you going to meet up with along the way? What staging areas are you going to meet with? How are you going to refuel if you're going to use? There's so many things that you need to have on a plan. And if you don't have a plan, you're going to be meeting these true obstacles, but you will have no solution for them. And in the overall immediacy of the threat and the priority of the threat, you may not have a time to respond to them at all. Everything may be just run. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, with this whole scenario that's brewing in California, if the dam doesn't go now, it hasn't even made it through the winter yet. The likelihood of it going is going to be great. And once this thing starts to, once the dominoes start to fall in this whole scenario here, ladies and gentlemen, yo-yo, you're on your own. Doesn't matter if they got all 23,000. Doesn't matter if they have FEMA, which FEMA's already there, and its overall situational centers and emergency centers are all set up. Doesn't matter what they have set up, ladies and gentlemen, you're on your own. Because one of the things is that they're not going to put themselves in harm's way to help you. Some of the things that you need to know. They instead, what they're going to do is they're going to recover after the overall threat is over. They're going to send in search and rescue. Then they're going to send in, it's just a retrieval mission now, because they don't expect anyone else to have survived that was left. So that's what all of that, that's what that infrastructure is there for. And so very, very important for you to know these. And remember, one of the things about this whole ordeal in California is that it's unlike things that could happen, and it's totally a different beast in itself. The infrastructure in which to escape has been compromised by the overall torrential rains already and the flooding. So now, what happens when you have water and vehicles? They have to move a whole lot slower. Then there's potholes and there's sinkholes. Then now things are going to be unpassable. What happens when the road has a major sinkhole and all you do is have a vehicle? Have you planned for an appropriate response to this whole thing? And it's not something that you should haphazardly think that everything is going to be okay, because history always tells you nothing remains the same, especially when there's an intention and an energy that's behind it. You need to know. So we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at some of the things that you should be looking and planning, some of the things that you should have in your plans. Just some cursory things, because it's very personal when you have plans. And then we're going to take a look at some of the things that's going on in California as we speak, so that you can see this is an opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. And everyone here in this country should be planning for this financially, because if this goes, ladies and gentlemen, or you could forget your overall food bill, and the access to food is going to be challenged. Remember, Mexico ain't such a good friend no more. Why? Because it was created that way for a reason. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, then hit **. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, then hit **. You know, I was formerly in FEMA Region number 9, which is California, and those of you that have been listening to Tando Radio Show for a while, and the overall, you know, why we have this is from a, as Scotty puts it, from a prepper's perspective, from our very inception, I said that is California was something that I needed to get out of. And this is planning, because the some of the events and what was going to be happening, California was not, in my opinion, was not the ideal place to be, especially Southern California. But it could be navigated, but there are some real problems and obstacles that were there that I didn't want to face. So I said it'd be better off for me to move myself. This is why you always want to plan before you actually position yourself to be able to capture the overall opportunities of something with while you're minimizing the effects of it, the adverse effects of it. So,
Dave, before you move on,
I positioned myself. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah. Not only did you position yourself, or should you have made that move because of the inclement weather, but also Fukushima, man, Fukushima.
Yeah.
A lot of people still sleeping on that, man. And that's like, I mean, y'all not that far from the epicenter. Or, you know,
right.
California's not that far from the epicenter. And, you know, there have already been reports of this affecting, you know, even babies in vitro and what have you. But my question to you, and you do got another caller on the board. But
yeah, I'm going to put him on. Atlanta, hold on. I'm going to put you on mute you. Then I'll come right back to you. I muted you, but we're going to come right back to you. Don't worry about it. Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah. In your opinion, is this criminal neglect? Because they knew about these problems.
Oh, without a doubt. I think it borderlines even more on criminal neglect. I think it could actually, especially with the dynamics of this, this is crimes against humanity. And I'm going to tell you, also, this gives the perfect plausible deniability for sabotage to be in. Let me tell you why. And I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but let me tell you something. These governments do some very deadly things. Scotty, do you think that it would be far-reaching for the, let's just say, the Mexican government, I'm not saying it for the Mexican government to compromise this dam even further. Would that be in their best interest? Would that be in the interest of them? Yes, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Now, also, would somebody else say that the Mexican government did do it? Or the Chinese did do it? Or would it be in a position for China? Remember one thing, if California is totally destabilized economically, do you know what that will do to the economy if this dam goes? What this would do to the national economy? This is the food basket of not only the United States, but in for most, you know, in all sense of purposes, one of the food baskets for the world. And it's for you to lose that infrastructure, because if this dam goes, it's not just one dam that's going to go. And it's not just something that you're going to be able to recover from within a year. This is huge. Yes, it's without a doubt. The criminality to this whole thing is so huge, and the evidence to that is so blatant. And we'll look at that as it goes along. But, you know, right now is that people have to respond to the perception of a conspiracy agenda or a natural event. Either way, you're going to have to deal with this accordingly. And now, if you're affected by that, you need to prepare. Even if you're not in California right now, you need to be preparing for this dam to collapse. Because if it does collapse and it is compromising, and if it's completely compromised, if it gives and it no longer holds the water back, it is going to directly affect you in Boston, in New York City, in Miami, in Pittsburgh, in Indiana, and all over the country. This is going to adversely affect you. But it can also be where you can have benefit from it, but you can seize on the opportunities of it. This is why it's so important to have a plan. So important. So we got another caller that's in queue. Let's go to this caller. I had to mute them out real quick. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show, area code 470. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question and comment?
Hey, Dave, this is Rob from Atlanta, man. How you doing, brother?
What's up, Rob, man? Sorry, we missed, man. I was so busy. You got to give me a little more time, and that way I could not schedule some things.
I wasn't tripping, man, because I knew it was last minute, and I know you busy. I will be there for the 25th, so I'm not even sweating it. So.
Cool.
I just wanted to say, man, you know, you're doing a good job, brother. Last Friday's show definitely put me on one. You know, I was kind of slacking on my prepping, But it you know, I got mule kicked, and I got brought back to reality with last week's show. I just want to tell you, you're doing a good job, man. I got a group of people coming with me on the 25th, so I just look forward to every day, man. When you had this great show, bro.
Man, and I'm gonna tell you, I truly, truly appreciate you. And this is something that we all have to, there's collective prudence in this whole thing, and we got to establish. So I appreciate it. We're in this together, because if we take that approach to it, then we can solve things collectively, because you have talents that I don't have. And those things are going to be necessary for our overall, you know, goals, and for our method to coincide with our objective. And our objectives are all the same, in my opinion. So much love, much respect, brother.
Thank you, man.
Okay, peace. All right, so what I want to do, let's talk about a plan and what goes, and then I want to read this article from what's the worst case scenario. You need to know this, but if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Yeah, we got another caller that's in queue from area code 414. Welcome to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
This is Rob in Milwaukee. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir. What's up, brother Rob? How you feeling?
Man, I'm getting better.
You sound good, brother.
Thank you. I wanted to chime in and ask,
yes,
because I know your name is Dave from L.A., and you left L.A., and I still have this stupid yearning to move to California. And what I wanted to ask, in being prepared, right?
Yes, sir.
I know that water, maybe canned goods, and my question is, what are the essential things that a black male who is attempting to lead his family, what are the essential things that he would want to have in being in a kit, in a prepared kit? They call it like a bug out bag, or you know what I'm saying, something like that.
Yeah.
And that was my question. And thank you for taking my call.
For sure. Great question. Okay, so from a bug out bag standpoint, let's take a bug out bag standpoint. Great question. In California, you know, bro, there may be some great opportunities to go to California at the appropriate time, as long as you know it, because everything is based off of who you are and what your objectives are. So going to California is not bad, but just, and I think that you'll be more prepared to go to California than just someone that's sun chasing, you know, because there's more to California than just that. There's some real adversity and some things. So I think it's a great appropriate question. So from a bug out bag, I would say this, your bug out bag should be based off of what your overall objective is with that bag. You could have a 1-day bag, a 3-day bag, or a 5-day bag, or a week bag, depending on. So let's take a typical in your car bag that everyone should have in their overall vehicle. And, you know, especially, you know, and then we'll tie this in with this. For with a bug out bag, in my opinion, some of the essential things in a bug out bag are, depending on who you are, like for me, when I was in California, I needed maps, but I didn't need as many maps because I was very familiar with where I was. But here in Texas, I need maps, and I need to be able to get to where I need to go. So I need maps. I need a compass, some of the small things. You have your essentials, your food, your water, and I would say some water, but having means to be able to filter or to purify water is more important than just carrying water in your bug-out bag, because at some point at some time, your bug-out bag, you may have to, instead of the car carrying it, your back may have to carry it. So you need to have the appropriate footwear, as well, and the overall appropriate garments to go with it for the weather, okay? Because the elements of the weather. So you still have the table of preparedness inside of your bug out bag. You never, ever, ever, ever get away from the table of preparedness. Food, water, shelter, protection, and energy, okay? So you're going to want some form of protection that you deem necessary. I would definitely say a compass and some maps, especially if you're new to an area, be able to get to where you need to go, have alternative routes. One of the things that I will always say, never, ever travel the routes that everyone else is going to go. Never travel the routes that are easy. If you're walking and you have the choice of a route that is on the streets and sidewalks and in the cities and everything else, and you're bugging out, but there's another path that you have that takes you into the mountains or on the difficult routes, take the most difficult route to get to where you need to go, but find the straightest route in the most difficult way. Why do I say that? Depending on what it is that you're navigating from. Because sometimes people can be your biggest threat and you want to get away from them. So in your bug out bag, think that you need to have the table of preparedness to where you can spend a couple of nights or at least one night in the overall element. But you still have to have some form of shelter. So I would think that you would need your food, preferably food that you do eat and nutritious food that you have, your water purification, your definitely want to have your electrolytes that you want to add to your water to strengthen your overall water consumption. You want to have a first aid kit, a small first aid kit, you want to have some measures to stop some bleeding. Definitely, that's a part of your protection. I would definitely say have some cayenne pepper or some things with you so that if you have a major wound that you could put cayenne pepper inside of it to stop the bleeding. I would say that you need food, water, shelter, some form of winterization to keep the wind off of you, to keep you dry. And that's very, very important from, just a survival blanket or having, if you can, some form of weatherproofing materials to keep you from getting wet, because that is going to change your overall body temperature. Also, in your preparedness bag, I would definitely say have a knife, have I already said a compass, have your maps, have your flashlights, have a red light on your a red lens for your flashlight so that you're not giving off too much of light signals. You need to have light discipline, have the appropriate footwear. It's very, very important to have the appropriate gear for the environment that you're in. If it's winter time, you need to have the appropriate winter gear. And also, some of the things that you want to have is that you want to have already established routes that you would take where you can acquire resources along those routes. Okay? And that's basically what I think that you should have in your bug out bag. One of the things that I think is very, very important in your bug-out bag, depending on where you are, is how long do you plan on having that bug-out bag? If it's something that's going to be in your car and you need to abandon your car, that means that everything in your bug-out bag you may not want to take, okay? Because you may have to bug out because your car is a bug-out bag. Now, your car is something that you should put a lot of your items in. And that should be specialized to you, the individual, your medical needs, your whatever needs that you had. You need sunglasses, different things, an extra pair of glasses, your extra pair of contacts, things of that, how to clean that stuff. All of these things, because it's so personable for what it is that you have for you. Have your radio, a shortwave radio. It's so many things that go in. It's no one defined thing that goes in the bug out bag. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to thank you. That's a lot of great information. Two questions. I am, and I hate to admit this, but I'll get lost in the paper bag. And my question is, So, and what I mean by that is I don't have a good sense of direction, east, west, north, south. So my question is, how would you recommend learning to read a compass? And the second question, if my information is correct, I believe that you stated that you are a former police officer. And my second question is, for a convicted, how should one approach a fire?
I got you.
For protection. And question.
Did you say a firearm?
Yes, for a convicted felon.
Yeah, I got you.
Protect his family.
Okay, great question, man. Great question. Let's take the first one about how to read a compass. Okay, so you're in Milwaukee. One of the things that I always like to do is try to learn your directions based off of unmovable landmarks. If you have a mountain or something, you know, that mountain is always, you know, from where your home is, that mountain is north of you. Now, if you go past that mountain is south of you. Best thing to do is that is a couple of ways. You can get a compass, and it will show you north, south, east, and west. And what you do for about the next 2 months, carry that compass with you at all times, okay? And then you just pull it out and see where it's pointing, so that you can start to relate the overall directions of north, south, east, and west to wherever you are geographically, okay? So in Milwaukee, so where you are. There are other things that you can use as well. You always know that the sun sets in the west and it rises in the east, okay? So that gives you at least two directions that you need. Also, you can use shade to establish, and I'm going to get into that in another show, because that's one I have. You can actually use your watch. Your watch, without even it being a compass, you'll be able to tell where north, south, east, and west is, but it has to have the dials and everything else. So, but get a compass and start to learn where you are. Your north will always be north, okay, until you move. You have to know the north, south, east, and west changes as you move, okay? What do I mean by that? Just because it changes, because it may be in front of you right now. North may be in front of you, but if you turn to the left, it's now on your right, okay? And if you turn to the left again, now that it may be behind you, because you have to know where it also is called true north. So try to find that alignment and get a compass. Very, very cheap. You can get one very cheap. You could go to Walmart. I hate the name stores. Just go to any convenience store or store. Get a good compass and start to carry it with you. You can also get a compass on your vehicle. Get one in your vehicle so that you can start to see that it's always moving where you are. I had to reintroduce myself to north, south, east, and west in Texas, because it was different for me. It was much easier for me in California because I was there for so long. I could use the natural landmarks, okay? But then there's other things that you needed. So that was a great, great question. That's what I would suggest that you do. And it's good that you know that, you know, some of your limitations as you get lost in the bag. Now that you know that, now you know what you need to work on. And your overall directions is what you need to focus on first. Be mindful of the setup of the streets, South 5th Street, north here. Understand why they're saying that. And one of the things that you can also do where you live, there's also a grid format for where you live. I know in Los Angeles, California, it was always for the numbers. The last number would dictate pretty much if you were either on the south or the east side. And it would always went southeast even, okay? So if you had an even number, it was either south or east, okay? So there's a little tricks that you can learn. So just find out where you are, but get a compass and start doing it there. Now for your question about how do you protect yourself for someone that may not be able to, by law, carry a firearm. This is what I would say to you. If you're dealing with situations where something goes wrong and you know that it's something that's going to, in the end, be solved out, there's one approach to it. You can protect yourself by other means, okay? Get other means of protection that you could have, okay? And have those things. Now, let's say we go into, and I got to give you all the scenarios. Let's say we go, and I'm going to end it with this one. Let's say we have a World War III scenario. Or you're in, or even if you're in Oroville and the dam ruptures, okay? And then now people are going crazy. Let me tell you something. Those laws no longer apply. Those laws, a man, no longer apply. You have to pretend and protect yourself by all means. If even if you were a convicted felon and you were in Oroville and something went wrong and the dam ruptured and people were fighting and they were harming, they were a threat to you, you protecting yourself to get out of that because the overall situation calls for you to be able to mitigate the threat. That law no longer applies at all. But you have to know when it does change, a World War III scenario, man, you can forget about it. If things start going awry, when we talk like the 96-hour margin call, all of that law stuff won't matter. You still need to know where things are and how you can acquire things if they get to that extreme. So that's how I would answer that. And until that meantime, develop other methods and tools that you can use to protect yourself so that you won't be subject to that being caught up in that overall, getting back in that position of disadvantage. So that's how I would explain that. Your overall thought process to everything has to be carefully, situationally thought through. Because sometimes you may not be, it may not be prudent to do this. Other times it would be completely prudent to do it. And it would be downright irresponsible if you didn't. So know what the overall climate is. So, man, great, great questions. Was that good, bro?
Oh man, thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time to answer my questions. Thank you.
Man, I appreciate you calling in and asking those great questions that you always do ask. And I think you know California may have a switch where it may be worthwhile to engaging in there, and you'll know when it is. And I think you know if we're still here. Fortunate to still be here, we'll definitely be talking about the switch because things do switch. So great, great questions. We got another caller in queue. Let's go to this other caller out of my man, Jerry. Shoot, Jerry.
Hey, Dave. How you doing tonight? How you doing, Scott, and everybody on the call?
What's up, brother? How you feeling there, Jerry?
I'm doing great, man. I was just I was intrigued by the last caller. I mean, you know, that's the type of question that I would ask. And I would like to add to that because earlier you was speaking about they telling us what they're going to do before they do it. Well, you know, Yeah. That's been an upswing because I think me and Scotty both have mentioned about this internal civil war that's going on amongst these white people. Well, this guy from Trump's party go out there and say that Trump has the power to do whatever he want to do, and he think it's despicable for these judges to go against him, and they going to correct that with their next actions. Do you believe that, because what I read from that is that they're going to do something to entice something of that nature where all of those rules are going to go out the window just to be able to justify whatever means they deem is necessary to put their plan into play. I just wanted to ask you about that, and I'll mute myself.
Great, great, great question as always, Jerry. Yes, absolutely. This is called plausible deniability by situational convenience. They create situational, they create things that give the situational convenience for them to actually invoke what they really want to do. This is why the system can never, ever, ever be trusted. And history will show you that. Those that trust the system go through, in my opinion, when you have blind faith in the system, you violate the first step of protecting yourself. You actually is the first step to genocide. Yes, and I do think and I do see events happening that will further perpetuate the state that the system wants to happen. And that is a war, and I'm going to get to the other caller 1 second there in Chicago. I'll be right with you in 1 second. And you're right, Jerry. These conditions are being conveniently put into place to adversely affect everyone. And what is their agenda? This system doesn't care who you pray to, if you pray. They don't care about your overall standard of living, your race, or anything else. The system is all about having slaves, and they use that to the advantage of them. And they destabilize everything to have a firmer grip on their what they consider their human resource. And they do everything from murder to deception to anything possible to maintain their overall control, because these people love power. They do not understand the power of love. They just love power, and they're not going to give it up. So, yes, Jerry, you're absolutely right. They are creating events that will give their overall objectives the surrendered energy to actually get everyone to buy into that or to move towards that or to energize that and give life to it. What do I mean by that? They're going to destabilize the United States completely because that better serves. Yeah, go ahead.
You were just saying that. It just made me think about it. You know, Trump was talking about Switzerland, and I was wondering, is he really dumb enough to not know, or was that a way of inciting them to further destabilize the United States, considering, like you always mentioned about them in the boot, that they the ones who transfer our money and everything, and for him to go off and say some disrespectful things about them as far as their crime and whatnot, is that an incitement, or is he just, I don't think he's stupid, but could he just be so far out of the loop that he doesn't know that these people have a hold on the United States before he got there?
I would say, and you and I both know, no way in the world, because he's been in business for a while, and he's a so-called billionaire. And the so-called, you don't become a so-called billionaire and a celebrity billionaire without connecting deals from within. So I think that is everything that's being done here is by design. And because I see the agenda where they want to have protectivism of the United States and have isolate the United States from the rest of the world, so that the rest of the world will see the United States as the greatest threat to the world, and have those actions play out, and then they'll appropriately respond to it. Yes, this is all a play, and this is what you do in theater. You have actors playing their roles and reading the script. No, I don't think that you know, he's naive of what it is that it is, but and it's the he's the perfect character and a caricature for this role. Perfect, perfect, perfect. So, yeah, just what you're saying, Jerry, and what you're seeing is very, very true. So great, great question, Jerry. Okay, listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. Caller out of Chicago and caller out of Atlanta, we'll be right with you right after the commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A. Give us a call at 866-510-9025, then hit **, 866-510-9025, then hit **. We got a caller out of Chicago and a caller in Atlanta. We're going to the Chicago caller came up first, and then we'll go to the Atlanta caller. Hold on, caller from Atlanta. We'll be right with you. Caller from 312, what's your name and where you're calling from, and what is your question and comment?
This is Deborah, and I was calling to comment on as far as how to recognize where your locations and stuff are.
Well, hold on. This is my girl, Deborah. And let me tell you, man, Deborah and I have been watching this stuff together for a little while. And so what's going on, Deborah? How you feeling?
I'm hanging.
So, okay,
that's
Deborah.
Why
so,
I just
so,
said it just like that. Cause
I know. Okay, so Deborah, what is it? What was your question? Because just
no,
just
I was
your
just
voice,
you know, as far as how to recognize where you're at, and
okay.
You know, if it's north, south, east, or west. You can pay attention to the street signs as well, you know.
Yes.
I know in Chicago, you know, especially in the suburbs, they pretty much, if you're changing, like, say, Calumet City, or you're going from one suburb to another, then the street signs change colors. And,
right.
And then also on the street signs, you know, they have the east and the west or whatever directions also. So that's some way that you can kind of familiarize yourself with it, you know, that way. But then, like you said, just kind of getting some landmarks and being able to tell, you know, which directions that you're going in.
Yeah, and Deborah is absolutely right. One of the things you could also do for those of you that drive, the freeway system is the highway system is very, very important. Don't just be mindful of things. If you're going north, make a cognizant note of that. I'm going north. And then, you know, to go back home, you got to go the other way. So you got to go south. Or if you go west, you know, to go back home, you got to go east and vice versa. The roads or the highways that you are give you a slight indication of where the directions, because not every road that says it's going east is really always going east. It could be going in a northeast direction or a southeast direction. That's not, you know, true east. So there's different
right.
things, but your road system, and as Deborah's pointed out, is very, very true on what can help you. It's very, very important for you to, first and foremost, is to get a compass and then use that. I'm going to tell you a very funny story. I had a... But Deborah is absolutely right. I'm going to tell you a funny story real quick. I had a friend that was on probation as a police officer, and she didn't know her north, south, east, and west. And so I was helping her out with some things. And so I wrote on the paper, okay, this is north, this is south, east, and west. And I said, okay, so right now this is because we're, you know, going this way, going towards Hollywood Hills, that's north. And you know, the ocean is always on the west because we can't go in the ocean. So we know that, and we know that this is here and south is here. So I gave her and talked to her and everything else, and I gave her, you know, the notes and everything. So we get in the car and we were doing things, and I keep hearing this right? And I keep hearing this. And I said, what's that noise? I said, what's that noise? What she did was she took, because stress is a mug. She took the paper, and every time we turned the corner, she would turn her paper. And so she was trying to keep up with where we were going by turning her paper. She was going to have a midshift compass in her hand, right? And everywhere we went, all I hear is this paper. She's trying to turn it, right? So, but what was happening is that what she needed to do was that, as Deborah said, she needed to learn the streets by looking at the streets and by being able to look at different things. Now, was the Hollywood sign in front of us or behind us? Because if it was behind us, directly behind us, that means we were going south. If it was directly in front of us, we were going north. If it was off to our right, that means we were traveling at a northwest direction. So it kind of, you know, or a east direction, I mean, or a west direction, depending on, you know, where it was. So as Deborah said, very true. Use your landmarks, use your streets, know where you are. But the key to it all is the compass and the sun. The sun always gives you at least an idea, and it will tell you really where you are. But at different times of the day, it may be difficult for you to do. But I'll talk to you about that, how to do that. But, yeah, great, great point, Deborah. Any other point, Deb?
Well, and then also just remember when you're doing north and south, west and east will always spell we, you know? So
yes.
That's something new. That I was
right.
always told, you know.
Right.
So that kind of
right.
is an indicator as well. But then this is my other thing.
Wait. Deborah, explain really... that. Because what Deborah is saying is that we is that what she's saying is that if you're facing north, you think of we, W-E. That means that on your left-hand side is west. On your right-hand side is east, we.
Exactly.
So, but you have to be facing north, right?
Right.
On that
right.
one.
Right.
So great. There's a lot of little things. So just we'll talk about that directionals and we'll get to that. So go ahead, Deborah.
No, I just happened to be flipping the channel news-wise, and I just wanted to be, you know, well, kind of tying into what you were just talking about, how they want to take and make United States to be this, you know, the topic of the world, but then yet for them to be protesting against Trump over there in London, you know, I just found that to be interesting. And that's actually happening
mm-hmm.
today, you know, with the protests that's going on, like in Chicago and, you know, different other areas. And I was like, wow, well, that makes a lot of sense right there because of what you just said. You know, they want to definitely make sure that they got the bullseye is on United States, you know. So,
yeah,
you know, but like you said, we, you know, we've had these kind of conversations and stuff like that.
So true. And you know, and it's important because then we could plan what we think is essential.
Exactly.
to different things. And that's why, just because they say something, and one of the things I love with Deborah is because I love bouncing things off of Deborah. We bounce because we're able to kind of get a feel for things way before they happen, way mm-hmm. before they. And when I say way before they happen, I mean way before they happen, up to a year, year and a half, 2 years before they happen. But we already see that they're going in that direction, you know, and we pretty much can tell because, like we said, they always tell you if you just learn their language. Hey, Deborah, I got another caller. So just
all
hold
right.
on. If you want to jump back in, let me jump on this one. You want to jump back in, jump in.
All right,
let me get to this other caller.
Okay. And plus, I was going to just say you needed it. I was telling you needed to have that flair of a woman on your show.
Say that again.
I said I told you I was going to come back on here so you could have the flair of a woman on your show.
Oh, without a doubt. Yes, Deborah. without a doubt. We definitely, yeah. No. It's so needed because, and we need to talk about that. But hold on, Deborah. Let me get to this other caller that's real quick because we're going to be running out of time soon here.
Okay, another
caller out of Atlanta, area code 470. Welcome to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Hey, Dave, this is Rob. I just wanted to piggyback on what y'all were saying about the compass and a brother that said that he doesn't have a lot of sense of direction or whatever. But here's a good way. Your state highways and your interstates, know the difference. Mm-hmm. Your interstates have blue and red letters, and the even numbers run east and west, okay?
Yes.
If it's a even number in front of any number, say if it's like 240, Interstate 40 runs east and west, all the way from North Carolina all the way to Bakersfield, California.
Bakersfield, California.
Yeah, that's 40. If anywhere in between those states, anywhere between there, if you got a 240 there, that means that highway is a loop, okay? And if it's an odd number, that means that highway is going to turn into a street. Same thing for state highways. State highways usually have their just like a U.S. highway sign on it. It's just like it looks kind of like a badge, like a cop badge or something like that.
Right. It has a three prongs. Like you said, it looks like a badge. Right.
Right.
Indicating a rural area.
Mm-hmm.
Say again.
I said that's like a route number.
Routes are different because you can have a county route and you can have state route and county route. And those are different. But if your highway, let's say highway 101, 101 runs into, it'll turn into a street, but it's still a highway, though. It still turns back into a highway, so it dips and it comes back. But that's ever if you in a sense, you need a sense of direction about where you're at, and you can look at a highway and tell, you know, north and south are your odd numbers. And east and
right,
west
north and south are your odd numbers, right.
Right. Well, I just wanted to add on to that.
No, that's very, very important. And just like in Los Angeles, for the addresses, southeast even C, same thing for the interstates and everything else. Your east and west are going to be even numbers, okay? And your odd ones are going to be north and south. Very, very, is a lot of little things that you can use to help you with that, and then that'll help you with finding directions and changing up. But the key thing is to always be able to find north and how you're able to identify that north. There's different ways because it depends on where you are. And if you get a compass that establishes true north, then you already know where you can put everything else where to go. Watch the sun rise and watch the sun set. It's one of the things that you always want to do because that will give you an indication for sure. You know that it rises in the east and sets in the west. It goes down at night and it goes in the west sky. It comes up in the morning out of the east side. So you got two out of the four. Now you just got to establish your north. And everything from where you are may not be facing directly north or directly south. You need to figure out if you're in a southeast quadrant or a northwest quadrant and things of that nature. But first find your east and your west and your north and south, and then you can break it down from there. Well, well said by the callers. Very, very important because you need to know. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes you need to know the wind direction. Is very, very important. Is it blowing east and west, or is it blowing south and everything? You may need to know where that is, too, depending on what happens. Like with Fukushima. Fukushima is blowing everything east into the United States. The trade winds in the jet stream is bringing it east into the United States. No matter where you are in the country, it's blowing it east, but then it disperses as it gets into different – as it disperses and everything else. So – very, very, very important. It's blowing it east, so it's coming out of the west going east. So very, very important to know. So, man, great, great points. So before we get out of here, we got like 5 minutes left. Let me just really quickly, some of the things that I think that is important for you to have, especially for those of you in California that are in those flood zones. Very, very important. Have a plan. Have everything that you – make sure that you have food, you have protection, you have a way to, in case you have to abandon your vehicle. Get out of the way early. Do not try to get out of it because the roads are already compromised. Take the essential things that you need. Make sure that you take some form of cash. You know, in the affected areas, you won't probably won't be able to use credit cards or any or debit cards, but where you're going, you will be able to use. And so make sure you have that. Make sure you have some cash. Make sure if you have your gold and your silver, have that. Make sure that you have all of the document, pertinent documents of as to different things, especially your if you are a homeowner, your mortgage deed and all of that other stuff is put up and carried with you and everything else. Very important that you have directions as to where you're going. Find alternative routes. Find the route of least resistance, depending on where you are. You have to know the conditions, not only of where you are, but where you're going, because you don't want to go somewhere and then you get stuck where that is because it's impassable because of the overall flooding and everything else. This is why it's so important to get out of the affected area as soon as you possibly can. Can you see how this overall storm is now trapping people? And you don't want it to be this way. Now you can't leave because you're trapped. Because you can't go to the west in California. You're in the ocean. And it's, you know, so it's so many – California is a very, very difficult place to navigate because of its overall topography, and there's not a lot of ways in and out, and there's a lot of people. So please, please, if you're still in those areas, I would say the most prudent thing, the wise thing to do is to get out of the way. If nothing happens, the likelihood of you losing anything is slim. But if something happens, the likelihood of you losing everything is greater. Get out of the way early enough so that you can have the options that you need to have. You should have already had where you planned who you can go and where you could go. If you haven't done that, you need to do that now and get it out of the way. Don't wait for them to say you need to leave. It's too late then. It's yo-yo. It's totally yo-yo. What you want to do is put yourself in a position of advantage safely where you're not having those struggles and you're not in that condition, in that environment. You do not want to be in the affected zone. That is where this water is going, this dam and everything else. Is not just this dam. There are other rivers and dams in California that are being compromised as well, from Chino to Shasta to everywhere, up and down the whole state is being inundated with water, and it's overall structure is being compromised. Its roadways, its paths of retreat are being compromised. Don't get locked. And if you get out the way early enough, nothing happens, you can go back. But once it happens, and if anybody knows, especially for the truckers in California, once the landslide, the mudslides, the rock slides, you can't pass anything. You stuck. You are totally, totally stuck, and you don't want to get in this run, in this fast water because your likelihood of surviving that is very difficult. And if the dam ruptures and you're in that way, it's you waited too long. You didn't have the appropriate plan for the adversity. And the thing about these adversities is that they're time sensitive. Is going to take you a lot of time, even on a regular with no adversity. California is huge. How much gas do you have? How much will your tank of gas get you in gridlock to where you're trying to get to some safety? This is why you can't wait. You can't wait. And if that's the case, you have to be to identify that if I get in this car and getting on this road, it may put me in a bad situation. I may have to walk to high ground. Where is your high ground? What is it that you can do to get out of the way of the water without using the vehicle right away? Because everybody's going to run to a vehicle. You're going to have to think for yourself. So much love, much respect to you all. Hopefully you all learned something today. I definitely did learn something from all of you. And I truly, truly appreciate you. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And I always say, before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Please, please read what was in BTR community on Tando Radio shows, the things that we posted in regards to this Orville thing, because this thing is definitely going to affect everyone in this country if this dam is compromised and it loses its overall structure and integrity. The economy is going to take a bath, and it's going to be really bad. Food is going to go way up, and the access to good food is going to go way down. So much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.